Without delay.
Without delay.
We'll move into the Customer Service and Operations Committee. Before you is an agenda. Are there any objections to the agenda as it stands? Hearing none, we can move approval of it. Next, the minutes of November 6th. Is there a motion for approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor of the agenda, minutes is approved?
Minutes is approved.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Today we have a one information item before us, and the item is a promised item that come back and update us on the new electronic payment program. We'll hear the status of the program, but what we'd like to make sure that we do is to track the launching of the pilot program and to hear from a number that we've heard from a number of riders that have signed up for the program. And today we can get a status of where we are in launching a pilot and moving forward. We have with us Mr. Randall, and he will be making the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good to be here to provide an update on our activities in the NEP program since our last discussion in September. The pilot timeline is moving forward to the targeted start in January. Central systems are operating, and several phases of testing have been completed, and as we progress to the rest of the field testing, and it's going well. All 10 rail gates to be used in the pilot phase are installed and being tested. The bus device installations are expected to be completed next week. We have 26 out of the 50 buses installed right now. Parking software has been somewhat delayed based on software coming from the legacy provider, but the software has been received. It's being installed in our service now and will be tested directly. The two devices at Suitland and Shady Grove are still planned to be installed next week. The pilot phase start target remains January 2015, with a specific date to be established very soon, within a couple weeks, we believe. The pilot phase rail gates are all installed, as I mentioned, and the testing is going well in the field. There are people out there testing every day. As we look at the system map, I wanted to mention that we continue to meet and discuss the NEP planning with the regional providers. Initial meeting of the Contracts Finance Committee was held several weeks ago, and we are developing information on expected costs, transition activities, and the overall transition process. The providers are beginning to discuss specifics with the system integrator Accenture in order to determine their individual needs as well. This next slide is a picture of the fare gate at Gallery Place Chinatown, which was unveiled in a media event a few weeks ago. The bus devices are being installed next to the fare box for the pilot phase. These two components will be visible to the public. I want to emphasize that this modern technology, these devices, as well as the back office systems, will allow fare calculations to be performed by a central data system, which is easier to maintain and manage than our current system. In addition, a sophisticated equipment monitoring system will be able to support a higher uptime for all customers on these devices. As you asked, recruitment of the pilot participants has gone very well. As I checked this morning, we are right at our target of 3,000 in the registered pool, so we're very gratified for the interest. And the customer groups, distribution of participants among the customer groups are meeting pilot expectations as well. That would be a reasonable representation of the customers at these stations and routes that we are serving during the pilot. While we gather information from customers during the pilot phase, these customers are self-selecting, so the information is somewhat limited. We are developing a more specific effort to gather customer data and impacts from a statistically valid sampling in the next months. We will coordinate this activity with the regional providers as appropriate, of course, and a key focus of the study will be the effect on the unbanked customers, which we serve today. the pilot participant guide. I just wanted to go over what the pilot participants will receive and what information they're looking at. A guide will be mailed out closer to the start date, and they'll be contacted via email and regular mail prior to the start of the phase. And some key attributes that pilot customer experience are listed on this slide. Of course, there's no charge for participation, but fares are responsibility of the participants. Some incentives yet to be determined will be provided to encourage the ridership goals, as well as encourage folks to complete about a 10-minute survey every month based to reflect their experiences. And, of course, I want to emphasize a backup form of payment is needed, should it be necessary. During my last presentation, there were a number of questions regarding the specifics of this new system technology. So I wanted to provide a brief explanation of one area in which the new system differs from the current. In the legacy payment system, the one operating today, a customer's value is stored on the smart trip card or on paper tickets, and the devices, gates, and readers on the bus or parking calculate the fares and communicate the new balance back to that card. The customer's value is always carried on that smart trip card or ticket. In the Metro Payment Pilot, under the new system, pilot cards or pilot devices do not store any customer information or make any calculations. Instead, all customer information is stored and calculated in the central data system. When a pilot card or contactless bank card is tapped on a pilot device, the device associates the unique card ID or device ID with the customer account, in the case of the pilot card, or a bank account, in the case of a contactless card, and that transaction is completed within the system, and the result is reported back to the device. The gate opens or the reader says go. So this new solution, the account is account-based and avoids the issues found in existing smart card systems that create delays in card loading, replacement of lost or stolen cards, and restrictions to introducing new technology as well. The overall timetable remains the same, with full implementation transition to begin in the spring of 2017. As you can see with the phased deployment, expanding the new system gates at the rail stations occurs over multiple years. And we are still exploring alternatives to accelerate the overall deployment. And as I mentioned, we are coordinating the transition period with the regional provider, certainly. Upon pilot completion, we will summarize those results and the next steps to provide the committee with more detailed plans and analysis for the next phases of the program. And that concludes my presentation.
I will open it up for a discussion. May I just start with, you noted in your presentation that there is clear attention given to the unbanked customer. Mm-hmm. And so can you expand just a little bit on that in terms of, as you go through this pilot, what things you'll need to look for, and as we look back to the regional system, how we will work through that?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd be glad to. During the pilot, we have a good participation from unbanked customers who have signed up, registered through our program here. We will not be able to assess the full impact based on not having the expanded retail network that we will achieve in the future being available. But that's part of the detailed study that we will be going into, how those additional retail locations, virtually double or more, can support the unbanked customers as well. We'll be gathering experiences through the customer surveys of the unbanked as well as the other customers, and we'll use all those to put together the best program forward for the unbanked as well as the rest of the customers.
Okay, I'm going to leave it at that and see if there are other questions. Ms. Hines.
Mr. Randall, thanks very much for the update. I will just start out by saying that there continues to be concern in the jurisdictional community about the costs associated with us all moving together to the new system. And many remember when Smart Trip was done and that a single price was negotiated by WMATA for the devices and other things, and that really did help the jurisdictions plan relative to cost, and I guess in the climate we're in right now, we just have to acknowledge that, you know, to retrofit the ART buses or the connector buses or whatever is going to be a significant cost for the jurisdictions on top of the cost that we are using to support WMATA, both capital and operations. So my question to you, as I understand it at the moment, while the jurisdictions are working together, WMATA is not acting as an agent in the same way that it did during the last go-around with Smart Trip, where WMATA really negotiated for the jurisdictions in the contract. And my question is whether or not that is something that can change. We're already being told there's a significant uptick from when we started this in terms of what they're projecting the cost will be jurisdictionally. So I would, you know, we as a board have articulated repeatedly that one of the, one of our goals is a coordinated system where it's seamless to the rider, which mode they're on, who's providing the service. And we need to be sure that, that our jurisdictional partners can, in fact, do this and can do it at a reasonable cost. So I am deeply concerned about where we are and hoping that perhaps there's a way WMATA can help manage what looks like a pretty significant cost growth from the provider, at least if the last 6 months is any indication.
I can respond, Madam Chair, committee members. The contract as it was put forward, as you know, provided device pricing to the all providers participating, the same as WMATA is getting. And to that extent, the contract also provides that any technology developed as part of outfitting the Metro fleet, communications, interfaces, those kinds of things are available to those regional providers as well. So to the extent that the regional providers have a similar systems to the Metro systems, those things work pretty well. That's not the case with all the providers, so there are some differences there. I think the primary difference, as I understand it, between this contract and the Smart Trip contract was the direction for those separate contracts to be negotiated and developed with the integrator and the regional providers individually or in other groups rather than coming under the WMATA umbrella. And that's something we're committed to working with our integrator. As I say, we're coordinating and the places we can establish leverage with project management or other areas that we're implementing, we will certainly do that. Other directions can be discussed if they determine to be necessary.
I would just simply add that I think you hear a strong willingness to have the closer coordination in terms of looking at that cost, and I think also to learn from those experiences that we had in the earlier Smart Trip, because that was really, that really is what it goes to the crust of.
Certainly.
Okay, and let me go to Mr. Giancola and then to Mr.
Yeah, Cole. Thank you for your report. I agree with Ms. Hines' comments and thoughts. And looking at the timetable, you know, clearly what's unknown here is the cost at each of the jurisdictions. So some early rough cost estimates of
would be helpful. It's escalating.
And then some placeholder be considered in our CIP to cover some of these issues as we discuss them, you know, and as we resolve how it will be funded ultimately. So I just think that there's additional work to be done, and it'd be nice to see some of those numbers in the future reports.
Madam Chair, committee member, there is definitely additional work to be done. I want to emphasize that the unit prices for the devices are all leveraged. They'll be the same. They're offered to all the providers as well. Significant still to be determined costs are the testing, the project management, the integration into systems that would be different than the Metro systems as well. And those pieces can be unique to the providers, and I think that is the difference that you're seeing, I suppose, that we're needing to address.
Thank you for your update, Mr. Randall. I want to ask you a couple of questions about your slides that read pilot participant recruitment. Mm-hmm. And the one after that, pilot participation guide to make sure I understand what's going on. Now, as I understand your slide, you're going to have 2,757 participants in the pilot program.
Madam Chair, there's about 3,000 registered in the pool, and from that we'll contact those, and we anticipate ending up with closer to maybe 2,000 actually participating by the time we contact people and they go through the entire program.
So what's the difference then between this 2,757 number that you have and the 2,000 that you're now targeting?
This 2,700 number is a little bit old. Recruitment efforts have continued up until today. We have about 3,000, and those are in the registrations. Now, when we go back out and contact those individuals to see, are you still willing to participate in the pilot? We expect some drop-off in that activity.
All right. So now, of these 2,000 people, on your next slide, in your fourth bullet, you say a limited set of participants will use contactless credit cards and NFC smartphones. Mm-hmm. So of those 2,000, how many will be using the credit cards and smartphones?
Madam Chair, we're still determining that. We asked the question of capability in the registration. I don't recall how many responded that they have that capability today, either a near-field communication smartphone or some other device. So we'll pull those together and review those personnel who have sent that information to us, and then we'll determine who would be included, who we can choose from there.
So what's your target? How many people or what percentage do you expect to be using contactless credit cards and smartphones?
We expect the majority actually to be using the pilot cards and a smaller subset of that to be using the smartphones just because of the availability. We have targeted at least, I'll have to think back, I think it's at least 1,000 taps plus or minus from every fair media. So we will get to that one way or another. We have internal people testing these smart media as well.
I guess I'm trying to pin you down because I'm trying to get a better understanding of how many people in the test are actually going to be using either a credit card with a recognition pin in, or how many are going to be using smartphones, because I assume that's the media we would eventually expect that when this goes on a broader scale, people to use.
Definitely. We will support that media on a broader scale when we go to full deployment. For this pilot test, due to the availability of those type of media today, I'd expect right now, I just have a hard time putting a number on that target without seeing what the responses have been as well.
Well, let's approach it this way. Mm-hmm. Of the 2,000 people that you, or 2,500 that you found eligible, mm-hmm. how many of those have credit cards with smart chips in them?
And I apologize, I don't have that number to provide to you right now.
Okay. And how many of the 2,000 have smartphones that are NFC equipped?
Right, and that, I'm sorry, that I don't have that number to be available. We can get back.
Would you agree with me that it's important for us to understand that, to understand how the pilot is going to function?
Oh, certainly. We want to test all those fair media and avail ourselves to all the customers what they have available.
And is that data that we can get before the pilot is implemented in January?
Certainly. I'd be glad to get back to the committee on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as for the NFC smartphones, have you concluded with the contractor that the iPhone 6 is a smartphone that will work?
Right now, we won't be testing the iPhone 6 in the pilot. We've had discussions in the contractor, integrator, and WMATA. We've been in discussions with Apple. And in their development, it's not exactly transit ready. We have some specific needs as far as timing and things that other retailers don't have. I understand we will continue to pursue that, and certainly we think when it becomes ready, we will implement it with our system in the future.
Is there any iPhone, smartphone that is eligible to participate in the pilot at this time?
Is there any
smartphone? It can be either an iPhone or a Google or Android. What's eligible, if anything?
Oh, definitely. Any NFC-equipped smartphone, and Samsung, Nokia, others have provided those, are in the general population as well.
All right, so of the people, if they don't have an NFC-equipped smartphone and they don't have a credit card with a chip, mm-hmm. what are they going to use to participate in the program?
We will provide customers a specific Metro Payment pilot card, which is a slightly different technology than our current smart card. So we'll provide them media to use for these specific gates in the system.
And is that media, is that device something that we are proposing after the pilot to rent or sell or make available to customers who want to use the system?
Well, thanks for that question. We will be able to enable many different types of devices. Cards, very similar to the Smart Trip card we use today, will be usable in our system in the future. It'll be used a little bit differently as a unique ID versus a calculating engine. But this type of card that we're distributing, as well as others across the spectrum of available media, will be able to be used as well. So we'll distribute cards still.
All right. One other question that is triggered by something you said in your presentation. You talked about a central data system, mm-hmm. and that when people use the card or whatever medium they're going to use during the pilot program, mm-hmm. that there will be a central data system that records that information while they're en route from their entry gate to their exit gate. Is that a correct understanding of the system?
Sure. Yes, all the transactions will be processed in the central data system, yes.
And how will that data be communicated between the gates in the stations and the central data system?
Madam Chair, we're committee members. We are implementing new infrastructure communication network so that transmission will take place in real time, virtually. And that's part of our commitment. And one of the pilot acceptance criteria, that those transmission times need to be within the specified limits so the customers can proceed quickly.
I guess you missed the point. What I'm asking you is really a cybersecurity question. Oh. Is that data communicated hardwire through some lines that Metro maintains, or is this going to be transmitted over the airways in some encrypted fashion?
Definitely. It's within our secure network, similar but more robust than the network we provide today.
Secure hardwire network or secure wireless network?
Two things. We utilize a specific secure wireless network for the bus devices because they communicate wirelessly when they're en route. And the network within the rail stations will be new infrastructure that we're implementing hardwired.
All right. All right. So as to the data communicating from the bus participants, mm-hmm. is that data going to be encrypted?
Madam Chair, committee members, definitely. That's one of the key aspects of this program, is it becomes more secure than most any systems that are available in similar circumstances today. There's encryption and tokenization. The latest standards in security are being enabled within this program. It's a great step forward for all of our security.
Thank you. That's what I was getting at. I wanted to make sure that was the case. Thank you for your information.
Can I just add something here? We talk about the pilot program. On the schedule that Tom showed you in July, there's a program review with the board. At that time, you'll have the results of the technical evaluation. You'll also have a good idea of what the costs are. And it's really a major decision point with regard to this program.
That's July 2015?
Yeah.
Mr. Bulger and then Mr. Downey.
Well, thanks, Madam Chairman. Thanks, Tom, for our pre-conference on the agenda with the chairman, chairlady. A question that I didn't ask in our conference call, and this is a major undertaking and one that I don't know the answer to, but is the federal government, Federal Transit Administration, or the telecommunications industry, or other transit agencies embarking on helping us figure this all out as sort of models and case studies and to get to some decision point in July? Is that happening in the industry? Or are we just embarking, you know, on our own?
While Tom gathers his thoughts, the first thing is, leading up to this pilot and this contract, we took the benefit of the learning experiences that has gone on in the industry to put together this pilot and the contract itself, so we gather that all together. I will say that, you know, having benefited from those experiences, what we will be presenting as a project to go forward in July will be probably at the leading edge of the industry in the U.S. anyhow at that point, because we've taken the benefit, you benefit by all the errors, mistakes, learning curve that others have gone through. And then we'll have our own little, blips, and somebody else will learn from us. But I think,
The follow-on question is back to where Mary's gone, but, it would be great if our country had a standardized protocols so that we could drive the costs down. And as you said, Rich, other transit agencies would want to follow in our footsteps, wouldn't have to recreate like we do in every other instance in the transit industry, have, different standards for rail cars and different standards for streetcars, and, it's ridiculous.
And one other thing, though, and what makes our system more complicated is the fare structure we have for the system. So others may not want to nor need to follow the complexity of the system that we're putting in.
He's talking about some of the things that Michael was talking about, the encryption, the cybersecurity, Mm-hmm. I mean, is the Federal Communications Commission helping us here, or, are we, asking for their help with, security or standards, or
those types of standards, especially related to security in the banking industry, are the leading industry standards that we are receiving from the banks, manufacturers, those types of groups. So that's where the industry is going, and we are right there with them. Yes, definitely.
Let me go to Mr. Downey, and then I'll have a
quick question following up on some of the other discussion. Thank you for the briefing, and looking forward to things moving ahead. What thought have we given with respect to privacy of data inside the system, in terms of can someone come and track all the trips you've taken versus anonymizing it? What do we say to our customers about that?
Similar to today, a registration of your card is not required. A card or other media can be purchased from a vending machine today or in the future, and it doesn't need to be registered. It would be an anonymous card, anonymous travel, those kinds of things. The central data system will record the transactions, et cetera, but it's like other systems under the relative security controls like we protect customer data today.
But if third parties were to ask us for the data on that system with respect to travel, either a registered rider or an anonymous card, would we make that available?
Our attorney should answer that question.
Yeah.
Similar to SmartTrip, we have special protections for the court order, head of the law enforcement agency, or directly to the person who's
hired. So it would be subject to judicial review. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just going to add that we're really here because we really had the urging of us getting to this as quickly as possible. And I think your last question was even one that came in the Smart Trip era, that we really recognized that there was a level of privacy that the customer needed to have and built into a policy piece. And that, most importantly, around the world, we were seeing everybody else in this kind of a system, and the question was, why not us? And I think what we're going is that we're coming into the alignment with the rest of the world versus just us here at APTA or WMATA. So I think that's a very important point. And Mr. Giacola, and we're going to end up our discussion
on
this short item.
Thanks for the report. I just want to reflect that we started these discussions as a board in 2008 and 2009, so 10 years plus to get something like this implemented, and we have been very deliberate and careful in our progress. So.